This tape is an introduction to the Education for Liturgy kit for use in association with the New Zealand prayer book, Karakia Mihinari o Aotearoa. The recordings are in segments and they follow the order of the kit. The start of each tape section will be identified, so the tape can be stopped at any point and picked up again later. Firstly, a few points about who the kit's for and some ways of using it. The kit's been designed for use as a multi-purpose resource. It can be used by small groups, large ones, or individuals. It can be picked up as a major project by a worship committee as the new Anglican prayer book comes into use. It can be a focus for particular interest groups in a parish. It can be, or form part of, any program for a group, parish, or fellowship in any diocese. You'll find the study material is catalogued in the same sequence as the contents of the prayer book. Where it's appropriate, the material's been put into two or three levels, depending on whether use is in lay education, worship leader education, or education for clergy. In fact, anyone or any group may find they have a particular interest in following a part of any section. There's a selection of booklets at the back of the folder. Eugene Walsh's Practical Suggestions for Celebrating the Eucharist was specially commissioned for this edition of the kit. It offers an inspired and internationally very highly regarded insight into Eucharistic worship. The booklet introducing this book was written specially for the arrival of the new prayer book. It gives a basic overview of what's in the book and gives an introduction to some of the concepts of the book and its services. The booklet, Helping the People of God to Celebrate, is a recently updated version of a 1984 booklet published by the Prayer Book Commission. It's complementary to the Eugene Walsh book and has specific details on the text and rubrics of the new Eucharistic services. There are two tapes, this one and tape two, which offers a sample range of music for the Eucharist. It's been specially written by New Zealanders. On the reverse side of this tape, you'll find a pronunciation guide to samples of some Māori language texts of the new prayer book. You'll find a list of contents on the separate page headed Tape Contents near the front of the folder. The multi-purpose use of the kit has already been mentioned. Different patterns of education will suit different situations. Worship committees, lay readers groups, post-ordination groups, clergy schools and seminars, parish liturgy days, Lenten study groups, women's fellowships, house groups, and so on, should be given the opportunity to respond to whatever sections best suit their needs. So some consultation will be called for to identify priorities and which areas groups will most likely identify with. There are plenty of options to offer any group. Some may see the general introduction on the principles of worship as a good base from which to start. Some may wish to go straight to the baptism section, which offers an open base for discussion and exploration, and plenty of opportunity for using people's own understanding and experiences. The group may decide to pause at the conclusion of any section or topic and pick up another aspect later on. Some groups may choose to spread study and discussion over a set period, say a 6-week, one-night-a-week program. Background reading can be supplied from the kit, and you'll find a section on educational styles in the kit, with some options on how to run a program and the sessions themselves. Another variation using a group base would be to focus on one aspect of the kit, say the Eugene Walsh book, Practical Suggestions for Celebrating the Eucharist. Each group member could read one chapter a week and bring their thoughts to share in organized group discussion. And just a word about the music tape. The invitation is for as many people who might want to hear options on settings to do just that and share their reactions. These are simple congregational settings, easily learned by congregations which do not necessarily have strong choral traditions. The settings on the tape are a sample, just a start of New Zealand compositions for our liturgies, which are likely to grow in the months and years ahead. New musical settings should be available in 1990 from the Directors of Music of New Zealand's cathedrals. Copies of the music on the tape are available from the composers, whose addresses are on the tape contents sheet. A last word about running workshops and study sessions. There's a page near the start of the kit with the subheading, Group Activities, What You'll Need. This is a simple checklist for organisers of equipment and resources to help get the best from sessions. This tape resumes after a short break and picks up where the Education for Liturgy kit begins at the Liturgical Principles section. There are a few principles which are shared jointly by the kit and the prayer book. These principles affect how each may be used, and they'll be referred to again on the journey through the material. A new prayer book gives us the opportunity to remind ourselves of what liturgy is and what it might become. Most importantly, we're asked to think again about just who liturgy is for. The kit is principally about resourcing all the people of God for worship. It talks about the priesthood of all believers coming into its own in worship. Liturgy, at its best, engages and embraces all who gather. A New Zealand prayer book offers new words for the people of God. Sometimes the old word congregation has been replaced by community. In the words of the liturgist Eugene Walsh, all give, all receive, all celebrate. It's worth noting that over half of a New Zealand prayer book can be used without the presence of an ordained minister. The book and the kit are for use by any who worship, in home and family, in groups and communities, both formal and informal. The second principle affirmed in the kit relates to liturgy as action, doing something, more than just being there. The kit calls this action accompanied by words, not words accompanied by action. Whatever the particular text, service or occasion, we celebrate, we forgive and are forgiven, we proclaim, we intercede, and we share. The key to making liturgy real lies in making ourselves really active before God and before one another. A third principle stems from this. When all take an active role rather than a passive one, all may give, all contribute. The kit invites us to explore other principles which follow from all this, about getting involved with our feelings and imaginations both before and during the liturgy event, about our individual gifts and needs, about the need to include, as much as possible, all ages in worship, about the unique presence of God in each individual, and about taking care that we allow our God to be transcendent of gender, culture, and race. The next section introduces liturgies of the word. The Education for Liturgy Kit section on Liturgies of the Word includes a focus on that day-by-day worship by and among the whole people of God. There's an invitation to explore the fullness of morning and evening prayer, where they may be used as a main Sunday service. This needs careful preparation. A sense of rhythm, drama, and climax can be achieved when attention is paid to movement and ritual. The kit has ideas on giving morning and evening prayer a distinctive flavour and a place in a church community. The kit section on the daily office looks at the role of the office in the individual's journey through regular worship. The prayer book's inclusion of midday and night prayer gives opportunity to use the liturgies of the word as a resource for devotional and spiritual growth, wherever and whenever the time is right, before sleep, in the early morning, or in the middle of a busy day. The notes on family prayer mark the special place of the family in Christian life and the opportunities to bind and grow together offered by particular times in family life, such as meal times. The next section introduces Psalms for Worship. The section of the Education for Liturgy kit dealing with Psalms for Worship is an invitation for worshipping communities to rediscover and reclaim the use of psalms in worship. The lectionary of the prayer book provides three readings and a psalm for each Sunday and principal holy day. The weekday Eucharist lectionary also includes a daily psalm. The kit looks at different ways of using psalms for worship, whether spoken or sung, or through participation by listening. The accent is on encouraging different communities to find models that suit their particular worship needs best. Different settings and chant forms are referred to in this section, together with additional resources for further exploration in the use of psalms. The next section introduces the liturgy of baptism and the laying on of hands for confirmation and renewal. The Education for Liturgy Kit section on baptism places this rite at the core of Christian life, practice and witness. Baptism is a new start to life. It's the sign and reality of acceptance and a sealing by God to represent Christ in the world. It's a rite that is rich in imagery. Groups may wish to explore a list of baptism images which the kit offers and reflect on their meaning now to baptized individuals. This section of the kit has a program for a workshop on baptism and the liturgy. This may be spread over a period of time, or sections of it can be selected for group activity. The key points of focus which the kit picks up are understanding baptism, the value of exploring the symbolism of water, and a working through of the liturgy of baptism and laying on of hands for confirmation and renewal from the New Zealand Prayer Book. There are some notes on each section of these services which reflect their theology and biblical significance. The completeness of the sacrament of baptism in itself and its relationship to confirmation and renewal are explained, as are the community's role in these events. There are some notes on ways of combining different possibilities within the baptismal liturgies, such as when a bishop is present in the community. The kit places considerable emphasis on community understanding and involvement in all aspects of what is taking place in these services. There are plenty of topic headings and guides for group exploration. There's a background to baptisms held during the Easter festival, guidelines on baptism at the parish Eucharist, and some ideas on ways of enriching the symbolism and significance of elements such as water and candlelight. Again, as with so many of the liturgical events discussed in the kit, the point is made that planning and understanding of what is taking place greatly enhance the involvement of all who come together. The next section introduces the Eucharistic liturgies. The section on liturgies of the Eucharist, Ngā Hākari Tapu, forms one of the major parts of the Education for Liturgy kit. When, as a community, we celebrate being the body of Christ, individually and corporately, we're engaged in action, symbolism and mystery that touches on the cornerstone of our faith. In the sharing of the Eucharistic meal, we proclaim and receive Christ. Christ is made known to us and to those about us in the breaking of bread. The kit invites groups to explore the meanings of key words we associate with the Eucharist and asks us to respond to them. Names like Eucharist, Lord's Supper, and Communion. The meanings of forgiveness, remembrance, thanksgiving, feast, and so on. A chart outlines some of the key stages through which the Christian community goes as the liturgy progresses. The gathering in God's presence, the listening to word, the response to sacrament, the commitment to service and to mission. These are the actions of the drama of the Eucharistic liturgy. The options for workshop activity on the Eucharistic liturgies are many. They range from examination of the services themselves, seeing what's available in and through the different liturgies, a re-examination of things such as gesture and movement in liturgy, a rediscovery of how all the senses may be employed in worship. Part 2 has been written for lay leaders and licensed lay readers. There's some detailed background on the proclamation of the word and some guidelines for giving the word major significance. Basic to all this is the understanding that Christians, through scripture, sermon, and prayer, are a people who proclaim the story to each other. The section on intercessions and prayers of the people underlines the flexibility of the new rites. Prayers of the people offer the community ways of being engaged in liturgy. They're the here and now response to the mystery that surrounds the community. The kit offers suggestions on what effective prayers of the people should illustrate and do for people, and ways of avoiding poor proclamation through words of prayer. A chapter looks in some detail at how the different parts of the liturgy of our Eucharistic prayer fit together, and examines the concept of Eucharist as meal. The emphasis is on the rediscovery of the meaning of the various actions and words. The task of the liturgical leader is to have this understanding so that the people of God are raised to claim it also. This is followed by guidelines for a lay reader, or duly authorized person conducting a service of the word with Holy Communion. Part 3 of this section of the kit has been written for clergy and others involved in presiding at Eucharistic liturgies. The next section introduces pastoral liturgies. The section of the kit which introduces the pastoral liturgies of the new prayer book reminds us that such things as healing or reconciliation are always more than individual acts involving particular people. The pastoral ministry of the church community, all the people of God, is about bringing that wholeness which Christ wills for all. The symbols of healing are things in which we all share. Oil, the laying on of hands, and even the administration of the sacraments to the sick are all part of a common proclamation of God's love and power. The kit offers some material for reflection on community response to suffering, sin, and penitence, and the place of the Eucharist within the body of Christ. The reconciliation of a penitent, like healing, cannot be separated out from the work of the whole church body. Each time we take Eucharist, we engage in corporate reconciliation, and through whatever particular ways we clear a path ahead, we journey together. There are some guidelines for those who exercise a pastoral ministry to penitents. This section has some notes on the consecration and ways of using oils, an encouragement to be as creative and as relevant as needs be in the blessing of a home, and a pointer to the opportunities for lay and ordained people to enjoy thanksgiving for the gift of a child. The next section introduces marriage liturgies. The marriage liturgies of a New Zealand prayer book appear in three forms. Each may be used with the Eucharist. They all offer an invitation to explore the meaning of marriage through preparation, selection, and above all, through a couple's choice of material. The education kit underlines the principles that the ministers of the wedding are the couple themselves, and that in the arrangement and flow of the marriage service, the ordained minister takes the role of guide, president, and chief witness. The choice and form of service will be largely the couple's. Their vows will reflect the sort of marriage they're choosing to enter into. Likewise, their choice of music, hymns, readings, and readers should be part of their statement to each other and to the community of family and friends which surrounds the marriage event. The kit offers suggestions on liturgical details, with notes on such things as options on greeting participants, the address to those gathered, the exchange of vows, signing of the register, an outline of a candle ceremony. There are also some general management principles for weddings in church. This section of the kit concludes with suggestions for a service of renewal of commitment to marriage and some options on marking wedding anniversaries. The next section introduces funeral liturgies and services at time of death. Thank you. The Education for Liturgy Kit's approach to the funeral services of a New Zealand prayer book underlines the ministry that can take place at times of shock, loss, and deep grief. It's a ministry that proclaims the gospel in its fullness, one that speaks to mourners as and where they are. The key concepts underlined in the kit are care in preparation of material to suit the particular needs of mourners, a creative approach to the selection of material, a focus on the Easter element of the gospel, which faces honesty about death and speaks of a firm faith in what lies ahead. And there's an emphasis on the important role of the minister in that leading out from sin and sorrow with the proclamation of forgiveness and resurrection. Guidelines for a funeral Eucharist are offered in the kit. The kit also contains some detailed suggestions in this section on the arrangements, sequence, and form of the church funeral service, using a model service outline where a non-church family is involved. Here, the rituals of death and bereavement are held as no less important than in other situations where people gather for a funeral service. The 1989 Auckland Diocesan Synod service was organised for the diocese by the Reverend David Balfour and was held in the Great Hall at King's College in Auckland. The service was a freely composed liturgy of the word with creative use of selected prayer book texts. Well, the Reverend Joyce Marcon was there. And Joyce, first the setting, quite a big space. How did they actually arrange it?
It was a big space and we had all gone away for tea, and when we came back there was a huge altar put on the stage, lots of flowers, big candles, a big icon of the Taizé style, and you were drawn to watch that just as you came in. The seating was around, so we were sitting in a semicircle, and to one side there were two screens, so we realised it was going to be audiovisual material.
Right. Let's talk a bit about the screens, because they were used in two ways during the service. What was the first use of the service, near the start of the service?
We were led into the service to be told that there would be slides, so we had a sort of time with the lights out, and then the slides came on. And they started with slides that had been applicable to pre-European days, what Maori people would have valued in New Zealand, and then moving on to sort of cities and development of the European settlement and the partnerships.
So the use of straight pictorial image to evoke.
Yes.
No commentary.
No.
Now, the slides are also used later on for that simple task of giving words to people.
Yes.
Let's talk about music that was used in the service, because there was, I believe, a mixture of traditional and modern. What form did that take? And then I want to ask you how it actually worked out. But there were two distinct choir groups there.
Yes, we had the St Paul's Choir, who came in their mufti and with electronic accompaniment, and they sang some as sort of solos, but often to lead us into our responses. The Cathedral Choir were robed and sitting on the other side of the hall, and they had a big organ to accompany their music, and we had an anthem from them as well as leadership during the hymns. So it was a during the service, you focused from one side to the other and enjoyed the variety of both.
And it does work, doesn't it?
Very much. It was, right. Yes.
Language is important, particularly in a diocese like Auckland. How was Māori English language handled in the service?
Where responses were made in both English and Māori, it was always the Māori first. And we had that. So it was slightly different order to some of the parts of the prayer book. They were just put in a different arrangement. And that was effective right throughout. So there was a combination of both languages throughout the whole service.
Do you think that the frequent transition from one language to another and back again is something that one gets used to and can use, one can pray in another language if, in fact, one does it often enough that one can slide, if you like, from one to the other without really notice that you're doing it? I mean, would you say from a prayer book perspective that that's one thing that one would hope one could say about the use of the prayer book?
I think the new prayer book particularly offers that. a lot more opportunity to pick up more phrases that we can use. And we were led well. The St Paul's Choir particularly led those responses and would do them first, and then we would respond, so that it was sort of a guided use of them.
Right, participants in the service, we talked a bit about choirs, we talked about a people being there, moving from one language to another. Who else took part in it?
David Balfour was a sort of a focus of unity of the service. He gave a structure to it, but the participants on the whole were lay people, and they included a child, a teenager, men and women, particularly women were used to focus first bits, but it was lay participation. And so that was a very enriching experience, and we all felt very much drawn to support and enjoy what was offered. It wasn't the usual people we're used to having.
One point that does occur to me, that in, say, the organisation of the choirs, the exploration of prayer book texts to put them in the right form, make them accessible, and all the other things that went in, the slides, a great deal of preparation to make an event like this work.
Yes, and it must have involved a lot of different people. The group that did the altar was a particular congregation. The Franciscans were involved with lighting particular candles and helping with the slides. Getting those slides together would have taken a long time because they fitted appropriate words. And there was a rehearsal the night before where everyone participating was there to run through it.
So obviously organisation, teamwork and a lot of goodwill on a large scale, involving a large number of people for a service of, say, over 200, maybe 300 people. But the same principles obviously there to be explored and exploited in with much smaller numbers, say, in a parish community.
It certainly ran as if no one was uncomfortable about it. Everyone knew what was coming next in terms of their own participation. And that was really important. So we as a congregation felt comfortable too.
Further details of the Auckland Synod service may be found at the end of the Liturgies of the Word section of the kit. And that concludes this side of Tape 1.